Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, pay higher rent to be more secure in your property. We'll hear from the chair of the Residential Tenancies Board. Expert advice on COVID and the flu. So if you have any questions on isolation periods, vaccines or immunity, text us now on 51551. Fancy going to a gig this weekend without having to leave the comfort of your sofa? Dave Fanning brings us the best concerts to watch on your TV. Now, earlier in the week, we heard that owners of older homes should consider getting an energy consultant in to see if they can cut their costs. Well, Evelyn has been finding out if it's worth it. Also, a slice of Callan's Kicks and, of course, The Gathering. We'll discuss the stories that made the headlines this week. You can text us on 51551, email today cb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar indicated in the Dáil that the government is considering an eviction ban. Yesterday, students walked out of lectures to highlight the accommodation crisis, and we've all seen footage of hundreds of people queuing whenever possible rentals come on the market. Now, yesterday, the chair of the Residential Tenancies Board, Tom Dunn, said that it is worth a tenant's while to pay more rent to achieve security of tenure. And I'm joined on the line now by Tom Dunn. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Claire.
Will you explain to us what you meant when you said that?
Yes, I was launching a very useful piece of research which has been done by Ciara Morley of Morley Economic Consulting on behalf of Threshold and the Citizens Information Board. And they were asked, Ciara was asked to identify the main issues facing tenants in the private rental sector and to analyse the impact of the main issues on vulnerable groups. And a key finding from that research was that landlord-led termination to sell or to use dwellings for personal use or family use was a main issue facing tenants. In other words, that tenants are feeling vulnerable and are vulnerable to landlords who wish to regain possession of their property for their own use or if they wish to sell it. And the point I was making was that if you're renting from a... Now, the language around this is very distorting, and I'm hesitating to use the phrases that people use with regard to what you might call institutional or non-accidental landlord-type landlords, in other words.
Some people call them vulture funds.
Yeah, and I think that causes confusion. They're not vulture funds, they're investment funds, and some obviously may be vulture funds, but not all. The dominant... Mm-hmm. Investors would not have those negative connotations.
Your professional view is that it is worthwhile for a tenant to pay more to those individual investors for their tenancy because they won't be given notice to quit because that institutional investor won't want to take that property back for themselves.
Well, we now are living in an era where you've got indefinite tenancies, and the ability of landlords to get their properties back to regain possession is limited, and effectively, in reality, limited to two areas, provided the tenant is abiding by the rules and regulations and the terms and conditions of the lease. And those two are, one, if they want to sell it, and secondly, if they want it for their own use or family use. Now, in the case of a fund or an institutional landlord, their business is renting, so they're not going to want to get vacant possession because they want the tenant in there. And secondly, they can't regain possession for family use. So effectively, you've got indefinite security of tenure if you're renting from one of those funds.
Yeah, but you have to be in a certain position to be able to do that because a lot of those apartments are luxury apartments. They're being rented out at premium prices. So are you saying that renters have to pay more to be secure in their homes?
Well, what I'm saying is that in any market, you pay more for reliability. If you're in the second-hand car market, you would pay more for a car that has a reliable reputation than one than a make that has not got a reliable reputation.
For many people, a car is a luxury. A home is a home.
Yeah, no. Oh, of course it is. Absolutely. And I think if you look at the research that was carried out by Ciara yesterday, the impact of this on people who are most vulnerable is very problematical. There's no doubt about that. But the point I'm making is that if you have the money, and this is why often people say these institutions charge higher rents. Well, yes, they do in some circumstances and a lot of circumstances because they are offering, a product that has dimensions which are more attractive to tenants. And therefore, tenants who are attracted by that will pay more, and they will bid out people who are less, who have smaller income.
But those tenants then who make that decision, who have the disposable income to do that, they may be then precluded from saving money to buy a house of their own. Surely it's not a solution to a problem.
No, this is very true, and the point you're getting at, I did deal with yesterday, and I think this is a very complex area. Now, the government have set up, very wisely, a housing commission, and what the housing commission has got to do is come up with a vision for housing going forward. And what that vision has to do is look at the balance between renting, owner occupation, and socially provided houses. And, you know, it's a matter for the state to arrange its affairs so that people are subsidised to buy their own homes, are subsidised, are given public housing, are in the middle then you've got the private rented sector, where we've really got to decide what it is we want the private rented sector to do. At present, it looks as if people who are on vulnerable incomes, who are in the private rented sector, are in very precarious circumstances. Mm-hmm. Now, that is because landlords who rent out accommodation do so for all sorts of reasons, but not least of which is that they do when it's a temporary convenience for them. They want their property back. And this is a problem. So we've got, the state has got to decide what it is that the private renter rented sector of the housing market will do.
I just think people will be surprised to hear you as chair of the Residential Tenancies Board saying it is worth a tenant's while to pay more rent to achieve security of tenure, because that advice doesn't end with the people who can pay the higher rents. It has a knock-on effect. It pulls the state into that vortex. So then are you saying that HAP payments should increase so that those people who are on HAP payments can have security of tenure?
Well, now, Claire, you're into a terribly difficult situation. If you start increasing HAP payments, well, then the people who have the subsidy that they get from HAP payments will be able to, if you like, outbid people who are low incomes but are not sufficiently low to get HAP. And, I think there would be a bit of problem with that. So this is a very difficult situation, and this is why the Minister is taking the time to consider all this. And one of the contexts for this, of course, is the issue about the possibility of banning no-fault evictions. Effectively, you've got that with institutional landlords, because they will not, they'll only ask for you to leave the property if you don't comply with the terms and conditions of your letting. They're not going to come back to you and say, we want the property back for a family, or we want the property back to sell it, because if they're going to sell, they'll sell on to another investing institution.
So you're saying that at the moment, an institutional landlord is the best landlord?
Yeah, what I'm saying, Claire, is that this notion, I think it is a notion there, that landlords charge what they want in a market is not quite the whole story, because what happens is that tenants in a market where there's a shortage of accommodation bid against each other to get that available accommodation. So it's demand that's increasing rents. It's not people who supply accommodation are kind of price takers in the market. And what I'm saying is that market...
But if the chair of the Residential Tenancies Board is saying you will be secure if you pay a high rent to an institutional investor, do you not think that might influence the market rent?
Well, it might, but it's like saying that your accommodation out there, there's a shortage of accommodation, people are bidding against each other to secure that accommodation, and this is a fault of the supply situation, and that's why it's so important to get more supply into the market. That we will not solve this problem unless we get more supply. And the point I'm making is trying to move into the market and adjust the market to adjust the rules around the market to achieve ends will result in other problems arising elsewhere in the market.
Okay.
It may not solve the overall problem.
Let me bring you what people are saying as they're listening to you, right? I can't believe what I'm hearing. Is a couple paying $2,000 a month not enough to keep them secure in what is supposed to be their home? Another one, people renting at the moment can't afford to pay more, never mind whether it will be worth it for more certainty. We need more rentals, get real. And David says this seems like a let them eat cake sort of line.
No, it's not. No, absolutely not. It's just a recognition of reality. I am not saying rents should go up. I'm saying quite the reverse. They should come down. But what I'm saying is the way to get them down is to increase supply. Now,
until that happens, you're saying the tenants should pay more in order to be more secure.
No, what I'm saying is you can observe a phenomenon that people will pay more to achieve security of tenor in a situation where there's a shortage of supply. And
you said it is worth a tenant's while to pay more rent to achieve security of tenure.
Yes, just the same way as it's worth more to pay for security in a lot of different areas. A lot of people do this in the mortgage market.
Only those who have loads of money are going to get security of tenure.
That's effectively where we are, really. Yeah, that's where we are. And all I'm saying is that the solution to this is to increase the supply, and the government are doing this. Now, you can make the observation that this is going on too slowly, but they're doing this. And I think one of the things the government has to be commended for is that the state is starting to build more social and affordable housing. And that's the way that the state should solve the problem of people who have low incomes.
Your comments, Tom, are on the front page of the Irish Examiner today for a reason. And there is frustration in the text we're getting in. And what I'm wondering is, if a dispute comes to the RTB and you're chair of that organisation, is there a risk that you might look at a case where somebody who could afford a higher rent is being served a notice to quit? Are you likely to say to them, well, if you wanted security of tenure, you should have been paying more?
Now, Claire, that's a very good point. As chair of the board and the board, we don't make those decisions. Those decisions are made by independent, qualified and very thoroughly vetted people who act on behalf of the board as adjudicators and tribunal members. So the board is not, and whatever I say doesn't influence them. They are independent of me, they're independent of the board. So when people say the board makes decisions, it's the independent decision maker that makes the decision, not the board. So whatever I say does not influence them. And I know quite a few of them and they tell me that to my face.
Okay.
They claim their independence very forcefully.
Another one message I have in here, maybe if the private rental tenancies board provided more support to private landlords, you wouldn't see so many of them leaving the market.
No, the Residential Tenancies Board has to be because it's running a dispute resolution service, neutral between landlords and tenants. The law sets down the rules that achieve a balance, whatever the balance society decides should exist between landlords and tenants. That's what the law does. The decision makers who make decisions in individual dispute cases interpret the law, look at the evidence provided by the parties to a dispute, and make a decision based on the evidence against the law as it is. The RTB cannot be in the business of supporting tenants or landlords. That's not what the RTB does.
Tom, just to finish, if the only way for tenants to have security of tenure is to pay, at the moment, to pay more rent to an institutional landlord, should the rules around evictions change and notice to quit?
Yeah, but then you're into another problem, which is if you do change those rules, then because landlords often rent accommodation for their own temporary convenience, if they can't regain possession, a number of landlords will do is not rent the accommodation. And it's one of the things that is not fully appreciated is the motivations of landlords when they're renting accommodation. If they're renting accommodation, they may be renting on the basis they want it back at a short time. For their own use, Claire, you could get a situation, and I'm sure if we do bring in a ban on evictions, where somebody, say, comes back from abroad and wants to move into their house and can't move into their house because they can't regain possession, they have to go off and pay a very high rent in a market situation, while somebody could be living in their own accommodation at a much, much lower rent. And the question for society is that fair on that person who could move back into their home and pay their mortgage and be happily living in their own accommodation, but the state could force them to be in a position where they've got to pay a high rent elsewhere, pay their mortgage and receive a lower rent because of our rent. That's not fair. The state has got to make these, Claire, are very difficult decisions, and the state has to make these decisions. I'm sure Darragh O'Brien will make decisions on the basis of the greater good.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now, but I want to thank you very much for coming on the programme. That's Tom Dunn, Chair of the Residential Tenancies Board, and we'll be discussing this in more detail a little later on in the programme when we get to the gathering. Now, though, we'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.